and she came across an envelope that was addressed to Mom and Dad. Okay, so she opened it up, and there was a very nice card filled front, insides, and it was a letter that our daughter Sarah wrote to us when she was 14 years old. And, you know, like, don't have to tell you what the letter said, but it was an encouragement that Sarah was writing to us, her parents, and saying how blessed she was by Marge and by me. At first, we did not know that this letter was written by Sarah. The handwriting looked like Jan's. And so we went through, and it wasn't until we got to the end where Sarah put her name that certainly our eyes melted, you know, like in tears, because those who don't know, Sarah died in a car accident when she was 17 years old. And certainly, also as a little bit of a follow-up, I would say, I got a text from Jan yesterday concerning my younger brother, Bruce, who never came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but he died. And Jan reported in her text how she was telling our granddaughter, little Sarah Grace, how good old Uncle Bruce used to go out when he was living in California, and he would pick, you know, like blackberries and other type of berries, and he would make jams, and he would bake bread, and when he came to visit at Christmas, he would bring these as homemade gifts, and how much that meant to Jan. So Jan went out and bought blackberry jam. She said it wasn't the same as what good old Uncle Bruce used to make, but she said she was remembering Bruce. And it's funny because also this week I was thinking and remembering times that I spent with my younger brother Bruce. He was a very good second baseman. Many times we played baseball together. In theory, we thought we could turn a double play. In theory. Never quite worked out that way, but he was a very good second baseman. I was thinking about Bruce. All that to say, certainly we just came from a time of remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really wonder what type of memories or remembrances we have concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you may remember times when you did not know the Lord Jesus, where you were not walking in the light at all. I can remember that, not having trusted the Lord until I was 30 years old. I can certainly remember quite plainly what walking in the darkness is all about. However, we regress often, and we go back and walk in darkness when we refuse to obey the Lord and walk in the light. You know, there was a passage that was brought up just about a week or two ago. It might have been something that Glenn introduced or brought up to us when he was talking about the Lord's Supper. You were talking about that just last week, is that right? Of that. And in 1 Corinthians 11, still part of the long introduction, folks, but pay attention and just connect with me, okay? Would you do that? This is very important. It was very convicting to me, and I trust that as you connect the dots this morning, it will be very convicting and convincing to yourself. But the passage concerning the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we do know that the Corinthian church, being all like us, had a lot of problems. A lot of problems, just like us in today. But the passage in 1 Corinthians says, verse 28, before you eat the bread or drink the cup. Verse 28 says, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. How many of you this morning can say before you came in the door, you had examined yourself? You had considered what happened not only this morning, but maybe even this past week. What does examine yourself really look like? And then it says, for he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. And then it says, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you sleep. So what does that look like? And when you hear words like that, you know, what do you understand? Certainly we all know that having trusted the Lord for salvation, all of our sins have been paid for in full. But when we examine ourselves, and if we find that we have been walking in sin, what does that do? Remember that verse it said in John's gospel? Jesus said, I am the light. And if you walk with him in the light, you don't walk in darkness. But what happens when we sin? All of our sins have been paid for in full. But when we sin, it's like turning the light off. So let's go to 1 John, which is where we're going to spend just about the rest of the time that we have. You know, there is a verse in 1 John chapter 1 that I am sure most people in this room know by heart because we use this verse. I'm thinking, if we confess our sin, he is what? Faithful. And he's just righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we believe that? Of course we do. And we run to a verse like that. And we confess. So what does that mean? What do we do when we confess our sin? We know that all of our sins have been paid for in full. We agree with that. And we know that. And we are eternally saved. It says in verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1, from him and proclaim to you that walk in darkness, so without examining our hearts, even before we come to the Lord's Supper, but any time that we in our stubbornness and our selfishness decide, you know, I love sin a little bit more or a lot more than I love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really like turning off the light. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, how can two walk together unless they are in agreement, unless they are agreed? Sitting here this morning, would you agree that Jesus Christ is? Would you agree that if we walk in the light with him, we need to be in agreement? Would you agree that he has paid the price for all of our sins? And we would. And we know that. But what happens when we sin and we don't confess that sin? What happens to our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not in the light. If we know that we have sinned, and I do, and sad to say, there are times I have known I've been fully conscious about the sin that I wanted to run to. And in a sense, I turned off the light because I wanted to walk in the darkness. Isn't that sad? The thing is, I know that you do that too. There's so many ways that we turn off that light and we stop walking in the light and we walk in darkness. And a lot of times, we walk in the darkness because good love, not only to the Lord, but also to each other. We have issues that interrupt our fellowship one to another. I have turned the light of my life no longer walking in darkness, even if it's for a day, a couple of hours, a week, much longer. Not only do I not have fellowship with the Lord, but I don't have fellowship with any of you who are walking in the light. How can I have fellowship one to another? And even when we gather for the Lord's Supper and we are worshiping the Lord, doing this in remembrance of Him, I could very well be sitting and singing and praising the Lord, but I'm not in the light. And some of you may be sitting here this morning and you say, gee, Bill, you know, I have a sin that I have not really confessed. I see somebody in the room that I'm not in good fellowship with them. In fact, I don't even have nice thoughts about them at the moment. But some other things that we have found very difficult for us to break away from. I have heard stories and I have known of those in leadership who are worshiping the Lord on a Sunday morning, preaching wonderful sermons, and yet on Saturday night they're clicking through pornographic sites. And that just seems to be their habit. It's a life of duplicity. So how do we confess our sin? If all of our sin has been forgiven, do we just carelessly say, well, Lord, here I am again, and you know all about it, and I'm sorry? Is that what you say is real repentance and turning away from sin? I have started to really think of bad days or sinful days in my life and how easy it is for me to run to verse 9, but I carelessly confess a sin without really meaning it. You know? So if I go up to Rigo and if I punch him, just because we have some sort of a little tiff about something, you know, and we get into a fight. Oh, that's shameful conduct. And I really belt him. And then I say, oh, Rigo, I'm so sorry. And he knows the attitude and he understands what this is all about. You know, he can pretty well tell whether or not I am being truthful and whether or not I really mean that. And sometimes also, we do something to a brother, so in that same situation, so Rigo, he wants to play the holiness card, and so he says, well, Brother Bill, yeah, I forgive you. But he really hasn't. We're not being truthful one to another. You know, like, is that how God works when we come running to him and we just say, well, Lord, this is the 1,039th time that I have confessed this same sin. And you know something? You can really trust me. I really am turning away and I want to walk in the darkness. He knows all about all of us. He knows if we are sincere. Now, we could try to turn away and we may still fall. But the whole thing is, do we really mean what we say? Do we understand that our small daily sins still required the sacrifice of the Lord. Every sin has been paid for. We are in agreement. But even sins that may not seem to be so remarkable, such as a sin of coveting, required the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we do confess, it's not just a very simple, hey, I'm sorry. It really needs to mean something where we're examining our heart and we're understanding the high price for every misstep, every sin that we have committed. Do you understand that? Sin is costly. We will never stand condemned in the judgment. How many times have you heard me say that? We won't. But every little sin that I commit, deliberately, or if I stumble into it, needs to be so that I turn the light back on. Until there is repentance, my hands are dirty, my heart is dirty, my mind is dirty. I am not a good instrument to be in the hands of the Lord. How can He bless the things that I do? Well, you know something? He knows all about us. He uses us. But He's trying to teach us something. He's trying to teach us something about holiness and sanctification. How do you understand a verse that says in other places in Scripture, be holy? You've got to walk in the light, wouldn't you think? Can't be holy if you're living in darkness, walking in darkness, loving the dark. Doesn't work. So let's take a look at a couple of other things in this passage. And maybe we take a look and just think about what this is saying to you. Think about this in your own heart. How does it look? How do you wear the light? I'll tell you, walking in the light and true confession, if you want to remember one thing, walking in the light and true confession turns the light back on in your heart, in your very soul, and now you are as right as rain, not only in fellowship with the Lord, but certainly with each other. This fellowship and any fellowship suffers when we are saying that we are walking in the light, but we're not. When we are walking in darkness, it's not giving glory and honor to the Lord, and what can we really do? We're doing things then in our own strength. How many times have we heard someone say, all of our own righteousnesses are like what? Filthy rags. What can we do without God really being in it? He's only in the things that we want to do when we are walking in the light. So we'll read the whole passage because of time. And also I'll make a couple of associations. So this is the message we have heard from Him, and we proclaim to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Take a look at verse 6. We say we have fellowship, but we are walking in the darkness. Well, what really is being accomplished if that's what we say while we walk in darkness? Well, it says we lie. We cannot say we walk in the light if we are walking in the darkness. That is impossible, because God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. How can we be joined with Him? Verse 7, however, is an encouraging verse. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And here's the bonus. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I think verse 7 is worthy to be underlined and memorized along with verse 9 about confessing our sin. So if we walk, we have fellowship and we're cleansed. So verse 8, let's see what verse 8 has to say. Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see what verse 8 has to say. And it says this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Surely people are already sitting here thinking, you know, it does say in Romans, all have sinned and fall short. It's in Christ. You know, it's so hard for me sometimes not to have a sinful thought, to be judgmental of someone else, to do something that I know I shouldn't do. You know why? Because we're sinners, that's why. But we can walk in victory. We walk in victory when we walk in the light. And so if we say we have no sin, you know, we don't even believe that in our own hearts, do we? You don't believe that. You know when you sin. You know it. God knows it. You can't hide it from him. Read it, none of us can. We know. But then we say, well, we have not sinned. We say we have not sinned because we like to look around and we like to find someone who has sinned and who has fallen, and we'll judge their sin, and compared to ourselves, pride wells up in our heart and in our mind, and we say, well, compared to that one, I have not sinned. No way. That's sin. That's sin even thinking that. Can't believe it. And then we have, of course, verse 9, so encouraging. If we confess, and if our confession is right, we really mean it. We really want to turn away from it. Even though it may cost us something, a sacrifice. One place in Scripture kind of says you pluck out the eye, you cut off the hand. Well, I don't think that the Bible says take that literally, self-mutilation, but you may have to take some drastic measures in order to stop yourself or check yourself from walking in the darkness. And then we take a look at this in verse 10. Verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we also make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, I don't think any of us would really like to be accused when we are facing the Lord Jesus, where he says, you know something, Bill? You want to know how many times you called me a liar? Well, first of all, we also know that not only is the Lord the light, but he is the truth. He is the truth. You know that? You believe that, don't you? He is the truth. But when I go around and I try to put up and I am living a duplicit life, in a sense, I am saying I have not sinned. Do you think how stupid it would be for me to be up here this morning trying to talk to you about some of this if I have not looked in my own heart and examined myself and my motives? If you could see in my heart the way God sees in my heart, to me this is very, very serious. I mean it. And it's serious because it should be serious for each one of us. to learn how to apply God's word so that we are cleansed and so that we stay in the light. We're going to fall somewhere down the line. We may sin today, and we don't want to do that. But a right confession, a right examining our own hearts, not giving ourselves excuses, will turn that light back on and keep us walking in the light, which is what we are designed to do, which is why God has given to us the Holy Spirit to help us. We'll see more about how the Holy Spirit can keep our walk the way it should be when we look at a passage in Galatians at 11 o'clock. We say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. And there's no truth in us. But then it says this in the way of encouragement and maybe close. We go into chapter 2 for two verses. I'll just read those first and make a quick comment. So after what we looked at in these verses, these five verses in 1 John chapter 1, John, the apostle that Jesus loved, and he understands what sin is all about and what grace is all about and what forgiveness is all about and what confession is all about. He says this, my little children, all of us are children in the same family, the family of God. Putting our faith and trust in him, it says in John chapter 1, we become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. He says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Hopefully this morning, looking and thinking about this passage, these passages, causes you to look in your own heart and say, I don't want to sin. The price was too much. And even my little sins are things that put me in the darkness. I don't want to be in the dark. I don't. You don't. I know you don't. So he says, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. Take sin seriously. But, or and, depending on your translation. Anyone sins, because it may be coming. If anyone sins, we have an advocate. Hit with the Father. One who is still ministering on our behalf. We confess our sins to him. He is the one who, when we have confessed our sins, and he knows we are getting serious about the sin in our life and the walk in darkness, he's the one who says, all of those sins, even this one that Bill has just confessed, has been covered by the blood. I don't see that sin anymore. And I pray, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me to remember the things I do and help to stop me, please. Give me that way of escape that it says in 1 Corinthians, the way of escape, so that even when I'm tempted, I can run from that. Help me to use that shield of faith that Paul also writes about in Ephesians chapter 6 to ward off those fiery darts of the wicked one. He knows how weak we are, and we are weak, but with the power of the Holy Spirit in our heart and in our life, we have been indwelt. We don't have to walk in darkness. Help us, Lord Jesus, this morning to understand what your word says so clearly. Let us learn how to apply these simple words. I think, Lord, that so many times we just brush over these words so quickly, we don't stop to think of what they say. We don't understand the consequences, and we don't understand that you desire fellowship, continuous fellowship with yourself and with one another. This morning, we had fellowship in this room, worshiping you, remembering you, and we joined our hearts together in worship. Were we all having fellowship this morning? Only you know. But let us just really, really want to stay in the light all the time and encourage each brother and sister to also walk in the light as you are in the light. That's where real blessing is. We commit the rest of our time, even the little fellowship we're having with refreshments and the time at 11 o'clock, in your most worthy and glorious name. Amen.